You must have heard in the news that recently the Shanghai Cooperation Organization summit happened in Uzbekistan. In that summit, Iran acquired full membership and became the newest member of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. So in this video, we are going to understand what does Iran's membership in the Shanghai Cooperation Organization mean and how is it going to benefit Iran as well as the other members of the organization. First of all, this organization has 8 permanent members. They are China, Russia, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, India and Pakistan. And now Iran is the newest member, which means this organization has now 9 members instead of 8. These 8 countries meet every year depending on which country is hosting. So they meet every year to discuss their regional as well as global challenges. Apart from these 9 permanent members, there are observer states who are interested in future membership, and they are Afghanistan, Belarus, and Mongolia. Further, there are also 6 dialogue partners, and they are Armenia, Azerbaijan, Cambodia, Nepal, Sri Lanka, and Turkey. This year, Saudi Arabia, Egypt have also become dialogue partners of SCO. These are countries that participate to learn, engage, and understand how things work. Basically, they are taking notes so that they can take some valuable lessons back home. Needless to say, these dialogue partners can become observer states as well as permanent members in the future depending on mutual interests and many other factors. This organization covers 40% of the world's population, nearly 20% of the global GDP, and 22% of the world's landmass. And if you look at the map, you will see that the permanent members of this organization have a strong geographical advantage. They are easily accessible through the land as well as air routes. And that automatically gives them an advantage wherein they can easily limit the American and the Western influence in this region. Which is the most powerful organization that we have heard of? It is NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization. All the Western countries, including the United States, as well as Western and Eastern European countries, are part of this alliance, and their head is the United States of America. Similarly, the counterweight of NATO is, one is BRICS, that is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, and the second is SCO, Shanghai Cooperation Organization. In both of these, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization is a much stronger alliance that can be seen as a counterweight to NATO, because in BRICS, Brazil and South Africa are very far away, located on different continents, and the United States has a good amount of influence on these continents. That is why the members of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization have a natural strong strategic as well as geographical advantage, if at all everyone maintains a cordial relationship. Now, how did it start? How did Iran got attracted towards this grouping? If I have to give you a plain and straightforward answer, it is because of Iran's growing relationship towards China and Russia. As you know, Iran has been fighting its economic isolation from the Western countries from past decade or so. I do have videos on Iran. If you watch them, you will understand the relationship between United States and Iran and how things got worse between them. So the West has done practically everything to crush Iranian economy by putting many sanctions. That means Iran has no other option but to look towards the Eastern nations for its economic growth. And not just economic growth, even towards political front, if Iran has to emerge as an important political player in the Middle East, it needs the cooperation of the Eastern countries. Because most of the big players in the Middle East, that is most of the Muslim countries in the Middle East, they follow Sunni Islam, and they are allies of the United States. And then even the Iran nuclear deal or the JCPOA agreement is simply hanging in the mid-air. If you want to know about Iran's nuclear history with timeline, I have a video on it. I'll put the link of that video in the description, or you can find it in the top right corner. Or if at all you don't find any link, then please look at the screenshot and search the title of the video on my channel. So over the past decade or so, you will notice Iran's nuclear program has become much larger and more sophisticated. But then what is the point of having such a sophisticated technology and program if you can't reap any benefit? So even though Iran's nuclear program has become much larger and more sophisticated, if at all Iran wants to benefit economically from its nuclear program, then it has to somehow find a way to bypass the Western sanctions. Which actually, if you see, Iran has learned to live with US sanctions. But then what I'm trying to say is that, if Iran has the support of stronger nations like India, China, Russia, then there is nothing like it. It will be an icing on the cake. So Iran needs the support of the Eastern countries like India, China, and although Russia is not part of the Eastern theater, but now after the Russia-Ukraine war, Russia has now become the backbone of the Eastern theater. And you can also see that how Russia supports India for a permanent seat in the United Nations General Assembly. Anyhow, this video is not about India and Russia. Now, if you look at the relationship between China and Iran, we know how relationship between China and Iran has grown over the past few decades. And let me also tell you what is the reason behind this relationship. This relationship between China and Iran is purely focused on China's energy requirement. After all, for all practical reasons, what can Iran offer? Iran can only offer oil and gas. They have huge oil and gas reserves, both at the Persian Gulf side as well as at the Caspian Sea side. And this is not a hidden secret. China imports Iranian crude at large volumes. And always remember this point, only those countries can do business with Iran who really don't care about the US sanctions. And if you see, China does not really care about US sanctions. In fact, China is the only country in the world that has the audacity to put sanctions back on United States. So Iran is the solution for China's energy requirements. And that is the reason it is very much in favor of China to welcome Iran into the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Now, if you look at India and Iran's relationship, both have good relations. But there is a dilemma for India, and that is to balance relations with both United States as well as with countries that look at US as a threat. If you remember in 2018 when United States President Donald Trump withdrew from JCPOA agreement and imposed more sanctions on Iran, that also affected ties between Iran and India. India had to stop purchasing Iranian oil. India also halted development projects in Chabahar seaport. In return, Iran also removed India from Farzad B gas fields despite the fact that it was Indian company ONGC that had discovered it. Iran also removed India from Zahedan railway project near Iran-Afghan border. Iran also began raising the Kashmir issue regularly. So, in a nutshell, when India moved closer to the US during Trump's presidency, on the other hand, Iran started distancing itself from India and started tilting towards China. But now, after the arrival of the new Iranian president, India is again rebuilding ties with Iran. The Indian Foreign Minister S. Jaishankar also attended President Ibrahim Raisi's swearing-in ceremony that took place on August 6, 2021. India and Iran are again in talks regarding the development of Chabahar seaport and Zahedan railway project. I have a video on INSTC, International North-South Transport Corridor between India, Iran and Russia. Watch that video, you will understand how relations between India and Iran has improved. So the relation between India and Iran is purely transactional. It is like, you don't mess with me and I will not mess with you. But I think now India is able to manage its relations with Iran in a very comfortable manner, despite the US sanctions. So the main thing to understand here is that, for Iran, both India and China, the two large economies, are its clients. However, you should also understand this fact that India cannot invest money as much as the Chinese can. In simple words, India will not be able to write bigger checks when compared to China. So anyhow, even India does not have any problem with Iran joining the SCO. Now coming to Russia. Now relationship between Iran and Russia is not that simple as it might seem to be. We have heard in the news that Iran has given drones to Russia that was apparently used in the Russian-Ukraine war. Now that's an alleged report, there is no strong evidence of that. And I have also said this in my previous video that Iran is heavily investing in drone research. Their drone industry is gaining momentum. And then recently there was a drone attack on a US military base in Syria and those were Iranian drones. I have a video on that as well. In fact, this year Iran also launched its first naval drone carrier division. So from all of this, it may seem that Iran and Russia must be two happy, like-minded friends because both have problems with the West. But then you also have to understand that Iran wants something from the United States, no matter how much it criticizes the United States. Iran badly wants the US to restore the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, that is the JCPOA agreement, because only then Iran can have some relief from the US sanctions. Actually, it was US who withdrew from the JCPOA agreement back in 2018. So anyhow, Iran badly wants the US to restore the JCPOA agreement. Now, if Iran moves more and more closer to Russia and China, then obviously Iran will jeopardize the JCPOA agreement. JCPOA is like that rope that keeps Iran under US control. So even Iran has to do a balancing act, just like how India is doing. If you can recollect, a couple of months ago in July 2022, there was a high-level meeting between Russian President Vladimir Putin and Iran's Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei. Putin actually went to Iran. This was the first time he went out of his country since the Russia-Ukraine war started. It was also during the same time Joe Biden was visiting Israel and then Saudi Arabia. I have a video on that as well. Here's the screenshot. In fact, the Iran Supreme Leader even said that the two countries need to stay vigilant towards Western deception. And he also said one more thing. The US dollar should be gradually taken off of the global trade. And this can be done gradually. And then if you also remember, last month, that is in August, Russia has also launched an Iranian satellite into orbit for the first time. And then as I've already said, Iran has also supplied drones to Russia, but there hasn't been any proof whether they have been used against Ukraine. Although some Western media outlets have claimed that Iran is supporting Russia fully in the war against Ukraine, but then these are all allegations. So overall, if you see, all these developments have ignited a debate, both inside as well as outside Iran, as to how much Iran should tilt towards Russia. Because the more it tilts towards Russia, the West, especially the US, will make it more hard for Iran to restore JCPOA agreement. Iran and Russia often treat each other as a partner of convenience whenever they have to stand against the West. We can see that in Syria as well. Both the Russian forces as well as IRGC, the armed unit of the Iran's military, they together support Bashar al-Assad's forces to fight against ISIS as well as other militant groups that are supported by the West. So anyhow, what I'm trying to say is Iran is developing its relationship with Russia, but at the same time, it is also keeping the door open to the West, including Europe. I don't know if you have noticed, after aligning with Russia, Iran got the opportunity to display its defense and aerospace technology to the world. There is another way of interpreting this. The war in Ukraine has created new opportunities for Iran to advance its interests with both Russia and the West. And I will tell you how. Because of this war, as you know, global energy cost has gone up massively. And that has made Iran, along with other Middle Eastern countries, more valuable to both Europe and Russia. Now, Iran is looking at this war as an opportunity and doing marketing of itself in such a way that they are willing to reintroduce Iranian oil into international market so that there can be some relief in the energy prices in Europe. Europe is an opportunity for Iran. In return, Iran wants United States to remove some sanctions on them. So you see, Russia-Ukraine war has created new opportunities not just for Iran, but to many other countries to advance their interests and position them strategically. It's a win-win situation for both Russia as well as Iran if their relationship grows. As you can see, I have shown all the three big countries, that is India, China and Russia. They have no problem for onboarding Iran into the SCO group. And if you look at it from Iran's perspective, becoming a member of this group will definitely benefit Iran both economically as well as politically. But then Iran has to be very careful. On one hand, Iran can advance its relations with Russia and China. But at the same time, Iran also has to engage the West for restoring JCPOA agreement. After all, it will be beneficial for Iran as a country only if it pursues a balanced foreign policy. Being non-aligned is a very important tool in today's time, and it should be adopted for managing global relations without friction. But then on some issues, you have to make your positions clear. So joining SCO is a success for Iran on both economic as well as political front. But they also have to engage United States for restoring JCPOA agreement. In the beginning of the video, I have said that this year Saudi Arabia and Egypt have become new dialogue partners of SCO. That means SCO can provide a platform for both Iran and Saudi Arabia to sort out their differences. However, we should also not be very optimistic about it. There are deep religious indifferences between the two. But anyhow, apart from all of this, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization can definitely transform the regional atmosphere and can emerge as a strong symbol of regional integrity. I hope you found this video informative. Thank you for watching it.